Okay, prayer, I guess. How to get a society to work, to function in a group, whether it's a country or a club or a company. So you may have this person there. No, it could be in the story, I don't know. But I was talking to these others, and it may be me then. Just directly on Priya, but whatever. That, you know, here you have. And if you want, if you're talking to some Hare Krishna gang, if you want to put Sanskrit words for it, then you can do so in your mind. But I'm here talking just very practically, focusing on how things work. Whatever society and language you may be in. That you have some people good at fixing things, building things. Doing the work. And that takes skills. And we look at all the Europe and so on. Those skills are respected. And are passed down in their line of that expertise, where people are proud of being a member of that guild or whatever. And craft of different kinds. And of course, those people should be respected, because they are actually the ones producing and supplying us with our daily necessities. Producing and maintaining, repairing and so on. Cleaning and washing and building and the others well, then you have the business minded people, the ones who may not necessarily prefer to, or even have time to, be out there working on the fields, in the workshops. But to handle the, you know, distribution and dealings with those things, and yes, who have the expertise to set up these workshops, whatever you want to call it, whether it's carpentry or a farm, which is also a workshop in its way, right? The greenhouses, how do you do it? How do you farm the land in the most effective and healthy for the land way, and so on. So they make sure that everything is going on in a way that actually produces and maintains, so everybody can get nourishment, food and living and clothes and all of that. And of course they make their living on that salary for their job. If you're a farmer, you employ people to do the work, and then you can take some profit on that. Honest, business. Or as I often say, my father had a trouser factory. He drove around in his car, bought the cloth, thread, buttons and things. Had 20 people, mainly ladies, operating sewing machines that he purchased and knew how they worked and was responsible for repairing and so on. And selling them, giving salaries to his staff, and maintaining his family on the markup. Honest business that was win-win for everyone involved. The ladies and one man was, if I remember, they got a fair salary. They were satisfied, of course. People always want more salary, but I didn't hear much complaints. I did the daily work, not too many hours, just, you know. And maintain themselves on that. Until the big multinational corporations outcompeted these small factories, having their trousers produced dirt cheap by poor people in poor countries. So yeah, anyway, we are talking Dharma here, meaning how to do things for real, in ways that are sustainable, that are win-win, the ways that we feel, all of us, it should have been done. If we hadn't been taught or told or shown other examples from people who are greedy and even tell us that greed is the principle of nature, law of the jungle. So you could say Dharma is about human society, civilized society, how to raise above the animalistic life of law of the jungle. But when I was young, I learned even that we are just animals, and we are here in the law of the jungle ruling, and we shouldn't be naive or romantic and think anything else. Now I say that's the falsity, that's the illusion, that's a materialistic idea that is false. We need to learn to see the difference between real and false. So anyway, just a few words about that business class or level, whether you are running a farming factory, you could say, or some other kind of productive business. So, which brings us into what we're talking about here, Dharma, because this whole concept, structure of a social group of people working together that we're talking about here is about that, how to do it the dharmic way. And you've got the next group of people, and of course every society has these. Those who are managers, not necessarily experts on production, but handling the, well, I guess in a way the infrastructure of the social group, security, making sure that the business people are acting responsibly, not out of greed and selfishness, not exploiting others, but again, fair, honest, win-win business. There are laws, there's police, military, internal and out, external security. Mainly that, and the overall structure and organization to make the society run smoothly. You could say also coordinating all the different departments of that society, so that they function together in a smooth and nicely working way. And this way they are serving all the others in the society as leaders in that way of of the total society there, and the best leader is the best servant, as we learn. So you could say that the higher and more responsible positions you get in that society, yeah, the more responsibility there is on your shoulders, and the better servant you have to be. the less greed you have to have, the less self-interest you have to have, the more philanthropic and, you know, servant of the people and so on you have to be. So it's not just about becoming big and powerful and rich and in charge of everyone else, because you're great. I'm the master here. And then we've got the knowledge people. Because for all of these others we have been talking about now, the different departments of a society or a group, whatever, there's knowledge needed. How do you do all the handcraft and this and that? How do you take care of economy and manufacturing and running companies and all of that so properly, so that all the ones working for you are happy and there is opulence, abundance being produced that is shared fairly between everyone involved. Producers, customers, so on. Knowledge needed for that. If that knowledge is not given, chances are someone would just start some business which is unrealistic. Maybe engage others if they're good at talking and convincing others. And maybe mismanaging or failing because there was not a proper good business plan developed. So again, in our society here, there are people who are very expert in, you know, they're knowledgeable in how to run a business. And even the Swedish state, for instance, they provide free such consultancy and help from such people. Some of them being elderly, having run businesses themselves, being very experienced, but also being possessing good knowledge and ability to teach that knowledge to others. So then such people, they're kind of more in there in the knowledge giving sector of the society. And of course it is obvious when we look at this that these people are very, very important. And we're also talking here about those who are expert at how to manage a group or a society. I mean, if you're in an organization, when I was manager in an organization, then I read books by such people. How do you properly run an organization? Do you want to be a dictator alone up there, deciding and everyone else following you? Well, then you have to be very qualified, otherwise they won't follow you. Do you want to develop a team to work with? Find good people who are experts in the different fields that maybe you're also not expert in. And you have to learn how to do that. How to develop and run a team. How teamwork is done in order to be constructive and not just a lot of blah blah in meetings. And so on. So I would say like this, that if you find yourself in some kind of society, whether it's a little club, a church, or whatever, a congregation, or a country, you need these four working properly. And first of all, which might be evident from this, you need the knowledge people. Because even if all the others are unqualified, if you have knowledge people there who know how to do it, and who know how to teach others how to do it, and the others know how to listen and learn, then things are going to work out. Eventually. But if you don't have that knowledge all the way from the bottom, so to speak, of the production and so on, up to the management of the whole group, and it's going to be a mess. Somewhere it's going to be a mess, and you will eventually realize, hey, we are missing that knowledge part here, we need to find that. Now, just my view here is that one reason why there are problems in some organizations may be just that the ones with decisive power, so to speak, sitting in the board, you know, being the decision makers and the top people up there, are not qualified. Sorry to say, but to put it short, they don't have enough really, how to say, documented and practically shown competence, knowledge, experience for how to do it right. They may sit there because of ambitiousness, which we often find when groups are weak and dysfunctional. But ambitious people, psychopaths, narcissists, all kinds of people who want to be on the top and have a need to be big and adored and feared, if nothing else, if not loved, by being up there in the spotlight. I would say that's very much where one should start looking when there is not proper workings. And this may happen in a group which has kind of developed gradually from, you know, some idealistic group of people, you know, with a common interest, where those people, you know, someone has to be in charge, you know, someone has to take up that. And then that establishes norms. This is how we do it, you know. This is how we always did it, and we know what we're doing because we always did it this way. And our leaders now, they are old and experienced, and so it kind of tends to get a bit stuck, or how to say, conditioned into how things are, they will remain. So, again, knowledge. If you find yourself in that situation, bring in proper knowledge. And how do you do that? Consultants, sometimes there are older, very experienced people in the same field as you, who you can invite, who are happy to teach and share for free. More often than not, that's the case. Only asking for being taken seriously, and, you know, people listening and being invited to listen and so on. Not just that we should bring in some expert, but then no one comes there. Now we did our good thing, we brought in an expert. So should learn from the experts, and especially the ones who need to learn that specific thing. So, that goes a long way. And I would say if we look at bigger societies, well, small as well, there might be a problem up there, you know, up where I mean, we're speaking important wise here, responsibility wise, among the knowledge people as well. But they may also be ambitious, getting fine titles and fine dresses and fine positions. Look at us, we are the smart ones. But maybe they don't even care. I've met such people. If what they are teaching and learning is a truth, a real thing, and actual facts, and actually working. But what is, you know, accepted and respected as status quo, what learned people should learn and teach, which may sometimes, and that's why, for instance, in India, the Brahmanas, they are expected to be ready, you know, to live independently, and even if they have to be poor. Because if they get bought, either by business interests, we pay you lots if you say this and that, that serves our agenda, it makes us rich, or if you support our policies and our political agendas, otherwise we might make you poor, we might even arrest you, throw you into jail or something. I mean, we find that sometimes, and when we find that in a society, that independent learned people are not allowed to speak the truth, fearing that they may be punished, then we have a problem. And I would say this is what we have today. And then what can we do? Well, some are brave and they do it anyway. And if we, the mass of people in a society, support such people, and especially the leaders, then we can change it and save it. So there's always a way to save it, even if the situation looks a bit dire. So you can translate this, apply it to the country you live in, a non-profit club or church or whatever social group you act in and work in and find around you, or the company you run or work in, so on, organization. So I say that this is what Dharma, we speak sometimes about Varnashrama Dharma, with all kinds of different ideas, how it looks and how to implement it and how it is relevant to us, this word. But I say that if we look at it this way, we're not talking about something Indian here, something in Sanskrit. It's not talking about something in our life and reality around us. Do it that way, it's Dharma, it's the way things work, the way nature works. And when we work that way as well, it works. And life is happy for all of us. If not, it's going to be a mess here or there. More or less mess. Simple as that. So, that's why we're here, spend some time talking about Dharma and trying to understand it in this universal, non-sectarian context. And yes, it happens to be a Sanskrit word, but it's an old and very good word to describe something very important that gives us a clue for how to function happily and successfully here on our time on Earth.